Hello and welcome. I'm Terry Fillet, and on behalf of CME Outfitters, I would like to welcome you and thank you for joining us for today's CME Outfitters briefcase entitled Impact of Psoriasis and Psoriatic Arthritis: What Matters When Engaging with Patients. Today's program is supported by an educational grant from Janssen Biotech Incorporated. I'm a PA at Derm Surgery Associates in Kingwood, Texas. And so I want to first off, we'll go ahead and just start and talk over the learning objectives of today. The goal of this activity is to evaluate the impact of plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis on individual needs and concerns. So first, we're going to go ahead and meet our first patient, Monica. Well, hello, Monica. Thanks for coming in today. So let's recap. So what's going on today?
Hi, Ms. Fillet. I'm doing okay. I have been having some issues with my rash and was hoping we could discuss it.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that you're having issues with the rash. So tell me what's been going on.
Well, as you know, I've had this rash on my elbows, my knees, and my hands for a while. They've been really itchy and sometimes painful because I can't help but scratch them. You know, so sometimes I have trouble sleeping because of the itching. And it's also been really tough because the rash has been present on my hands and arms, and people have been asking questions about them. I mean, I feel like people aren't very nice about it. And it seems like things like dating have been really hard because of the way I look. And it makes college life difficult.
Well, sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I mean, it definitely sounds like it's having a huge impact on you. I mean, definitely so far as not only just in regards to, you know, school, but just personally, just how it's affecting you. So I know the last time you were in, we started, you know, some topical steroid creams. And then we also started so far as phototherapy as well, too. Did you feel at all like any of that was beneficial? Did it seem like it helped at all?
Well, the steroid creams and light therapy seem to have helped, like some of the itching some.
Okay.
And the rash doesn't cover as much of my skin, but it's still pretty uncomfortable. I mean, I find myself kind of depressed about all of this. So it really has made it difficult to deal with all of this on top of school and athletics.
So, I mean, I definitely want to kind of dig into, I know you just mentioning so far, it's just the feelings of being depressed and just that emotion in and itself. I guess besides so far as I know that the depression is definitely being a big thing at the forefront for you and as well as the rash. And I mean, I totally can understand it being as debilitating as it probably feels like that you're experiencing. Is there any other issues that's going on other than those two that you feel like is really looming on you as well?
Well, kind of. I mean, another reason I've been kind of struggling mentally is because I've been having pain that has been made like running track more difficult. My right ankle has started to hurt and swell, which makes me think I hurt it somehow during practice, but I can't think of like any instance where that could have happened. But then even like my fingers have started swelling recently and there's been some pain there. So I wonder if this is related to my rash or not. I mean, I love running track and my scholarship is really dependent on whether or not I can compete. So I just want to make sure I can keep running.
No. And that's totally, I mean, that's totally valid concerns there. And I totally hear everything you're saying, because I know that that's very big, you being a track and field runner. And I know how much it means to you, definitely, at the same time, just being able to maintain your scholarship and be able to do something that you enjoy. But definitely, I think the best thing at this point is definitely, we'll talk a little bit more so far as in regards to this. And at the same time, I want to definitely do a physical exam on you to really kind of just explore and kind of really get to the meat and potatoes of why you're having this joint pain that you're having. So that way we can make sure that you are, you know, you're living your best life. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we really, really want. So I want to go ahead and dig more deeper into that for you.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Lay. I'm happy to answer any other questions that you have in the meantime.
No, no problem. We'll definitely do that.
All right. Great.
So we're going to go ahead and review our patient case. So Monica is a 21-year-old African-American female who has scaly plaques upon presentation on her elbows, her knees, her fingers. In addition, she also has pain in her fingers and also in her ankle. She was diagnosed with atopic dermatitis at one point about a year prior, and it was diagnosed by the fact of her having these kind of spring flare-ups that she was kind of having in relation to pollen and that were happening so far as in the springtime. But not only that, she was also having pain in her hands and also in her ankles, and so which was accompanied by some stiffness and also some appearance of potentially some dactylitis. Patient has been experiencing improvement, and she's also been experiencing improvement with topical steroids and UV phototherapy. Some of her past medical history is atopic dermatitis, as well as depression and anxiety. Her social history is that she is a college student who runs track. She experiences negative social stigma in relation so far to the appearance of her psoriatic patches. And not only that, just having some depression that seems to be looming as well too. Monica herself is on a college scholarship, so her ability to compete and just honestly just be able to perform at her utmost is really important. And so not only that, her family lives cross country, so just having that, not having that support system there all the time is pretty limited. Findings are is that she has a BSA of 12% and some swelling and pain in the fingers and right ankle. And medications right now is some topical triamcinolone that she's applying directly so far as to the plaques, UVA and UVB phototherapy that she's having 3 times a week, escitalopram as well, 20 milligrams once daily so far as for the potential depression. And so now that we've sat and talked with Monica and we've kind of looked over so far as that video, I just kind of want to just dig into a little bit deeper into some questions. Now that you have a good understanding of what Monica's going through, let's kind of have a little bit of a discussion in regards to that. So Monica has reported many different symptoms at this visit. Which one is specific to psoriatic disease? Okay, and the answer is A, dactylitis, i.e. sausage fingers. So now that we've talked about, and at the same time, like you've got an opportunity to hear from Monica so far as in the video, and her just kind of just talking about how she was feeling. I think that important part when we're talking about psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis is being able to recognize the clinical presentation of the disease in itself. We know that we're dealing with this disease process when we're talking about just presentation, so far as the scaliness, so far as these plaques, the erythema, the indurated, so far as just this, the silvery plaques that are on presentation. A lot of times we know that a lot these plaques in themselves can be limited so far as to the elbows, they can be on the back, even on the scalp when a lot of times it's very itchy so far for these patients. But the biggest thing is that obviously many a times these plaques themselves are accompanied by quite a bit of itching, which a lot of times is what tends to drive patients like Monica so far as into our clinic. But it's also recognizing that presentation can be very different when we're talking about different skin of color. And a lot of times when we're looking at Fitzpatrick so far as presentation, we know that, hey, if in a patient that has fairly fair skin, a lot of times those plaques can be more pink and they can be more just slightly so far as scaly. But in a patient that is darker so far as in skin tone, you may not notice so far as much scale. You may have more brown and maybe a little bit more violaceous in color there. So a lot of times it sometimes is very hard to appreciate, but I think it's very important so far as when we're talking about that, we understand that clinical presentation there. So now it's also understanding the presentation or the more so the clinical presentation of psoriatic arthritis. And I know a lot of times that is one thing that sometimes kind of eludes us in really just understanding when patient comes in with psoriatic disease, what that involvement looks like so far as in the joints. So now the biggest thing a lot of times is also being able to differentiate, between the different arthritis types. And this slide really kind of just alludes to that. It lets us know that, hey, When we're thinking about osteoarthritis, a lot of times we're talking about a disease process where there's stiffness so far as to the joints, but at the same time, it tends to be more wear and tear where you kind of have that joint space narrowing. With psoriatic arthritis, it tends to be more asymmetrical where you have so far as asymmetric so far as peripheral disease. In turn, that's when you have, dactylitis, you have enthesitis, and definitely so far as inflammation so far as those areas, whereas rheumatoid arthritis tends to be more symmetrical. And a lot of times that you still have that synovitis that is present as well too, but it's understanding, the key pitfalls, especially when we're talking about psoriatic disease. So one characteristic, especially with PSA, is that we're looking at a asymmetric oligoarticular so far as pattern, and like we just said, and that tends to obviously develop in a polyarticular so far as arthritis just over time. Even in itself, with psoriatic disease, we definitely see in the joints, we see dactylitis and at the same time, nail pitting, which a lot of times we can definitely appreciate in patients clinically when they're coming in and they're complaining of joint pain, just like Monica was. She was complaining of pain so far as in her ankles and swelling. And those in itself are a lot of times, those are key indicators when we're talking about enthesitis, so far as that inflammation that more so attaches itself within so far as the Achilles tendon that kind of inserts itself so far as into the bone. So there is when we're kind of talking about what that looks like. But at the same time, it's also just to understand, even when we're talking about the joints, it's very important for us to just understand just the pathophysiology of just psoriatic disease in its entirety. I always like to say that with psoriasis, it truly is, it's understanding both components and what definitely drives it. And what we do know is that the pathogenesis is still unclear. I mean, we really are still learning in regards to psoriasis all the time, what truly drives this. But what we do know is that hey, there are predisposing so far as genetic background and conditions that are key drivers. We definitely see so far as that definitely things could be genetic predisposition, patients who potentially underlyingly had some type of infection, the dysbiosis, all those different things that can definitely be triggers of what we're seeing. And so we know that we had that activation so far as the dendritic cell, that which thereby kind of like we know that we're dealing so far as with the Th17 so far as differentiation that's happening here, which obviously gives rise so far as to IL-23, gives rise to IL-12, and as well as obviously TNF-alpha as well too. But we know that with that Th17 differentiation, it thereby produces so far as IL-17A and also IL-22 and as well as TNF-alpha. And we know that with IL-17, we know that we're activating so far as downstream so far as within the pathway. In turn, we then begin to develop so far as those psoriatic plaques. That's when you have so far as that hyperproliferation so far as of the psoriatic plaques and as well as so far as giving rise so far as to the inflammation that Monica and it's herself is definitely experiencing. So now that we've kind of talked a little bit about Monica's symptoms, we've kind of talked about psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. I want to go ahead and get from the audience, and I want to pull another question in regards to digging a little bit more into Monica. So the next question is going to be: Monica has presented with symptoms of both psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. Which of the following is true regarding patients with both diseases? And the answer is C. The answer is almost one in three patients with psoriasis also have psoriatic arthritis. So we not only just talked about Monica and just recognizing so far as her presentation, so far as her disease, and just even honestly just understanding just the clinical presentation of psoriasis, I think it's also very important for us to now deal with so far as the burden of the disease, because we so know that psoriasis affects more than 7.5 million people in the US. And not only that, 125 million people worldwide, which is an astounding number when we honestly kind of dig more into that and really kind of expand upon that. But it's also recognizing that this disease has a huge burden on people's lives. We know that with psoriatic arthritis, it occurs in approximately 30% of patients with psoriasis. But not only that, psoriasis in itself is associated with a lower, so far as quality of life, and higher physical and emotional and social burden. And that we even saw so far as when we talked a little bit with Monica, just how much the disease in itself was just impacting her day-to-day life, which honestly, when we kind of really think about it, it's hard. It's hard so far as trying to make sense of what's really going on and still live day to day. But not only that, psoriatic arthritis, it negatively affects the quality of life, especially work productivity when these patients are trying to work and they're still trying to do their day-to-day activities, and how it has higher rates of disability and as well as healthcare, just higher rates of healthcare utilization. So I think it's something that we definitely are trying to appreciate in just in big scope and big view. But biggest thing is that we want to then just kind of dig into the impact of the disease, because we know that definitely, obviously, there's an emotional and there's also a psychological burden that this disease also has. But it's understanding even in relation to severity and even moderate or severe or moderate to severe patients how that relates. So here we see that 63% of patients report if they have moderate so far as plaque psoriasis, that 67% of patients report so far as that level of burden so far as on their disease, and 37% reported severe so far as psoriasis when it's at its worst. And then not only that, the average, body area so far as affected for most patients was about 5.5 to 4, areas were affected so far as for most patients, which a lot of times when you're thinking about, okay, does it not only just affect their scalp, and does it just affect their, their arms, their legs, all the areas, a lot of times just the burden of the disease, you think about it, a patient who has just severe psoriasis to their scalp and how that, how that affects them day to day. It really has a huge impact. So we not only that here, we just kind of just look at the survey data and just how it really truly affects the multiple areas of people's lives. So we go into obviously looking at so far as the impact of, just like we said, the impact of psoriatic disease. It really just has a reaching effect just psychologically and socially. And so we see that the overall most prevalent comorbidities for most patients suffering with psoriasis, 31% of patients saying that they are facing so far as depression and dealing with that, and 30% of patients having so far as some type of anxiety. Even in itself, like we heard with Monica, the aspect of her feeling that people were looking at her and discriminating, and even in itself, even you have to think about it, even if in truth it wasn't happening, just the feeling and the thought that that was going on presents itself such a big stigma. Not only that, not only the sexual relationships or just relationships in general with just normal, friends and family, a lot of times we see that patients having that burden of feeling like, you know what, they don't want to be around people. They do, but they feel like people are potentially staring at them. Or sometimes the feeling that, they want to keep to themselves, or just a feelings that, you know what, if I'm at work, what if somebody sees my plaques? What if they're, if it's visible on my hand, is somebody going to ask a question? I think it's a case where we really begin to dig into the numbers and seeing that, you know what? We see that, 32% of patients reporting that they were stared at in public, 31% of patients experiencing, stress in relation so far as to disease. I think it's very important for us to recognize that this disease has more farther impacts when we talk about just skin. It translates to people's day-to-day activity as well. So it's clear from the data that obviously there is immense suffering for patients who have psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And we know that it definitely affects people's day-to-day life and their quality of life. But here we also see that 28% of patients report that their skin problems prevent them from working or studying, within the previous week. Or even 40% of patients could not go to work due to their skin problems. That's a big deal. When you really kind of break down the data and you're saying that, wow, 40% of patients who are suffering with psoriasis can report that they couldn't go to work. That it's a case where their skin disease limited them, whether it be their skin or even relation to those patients that have psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, just how difficult it affects them. It's a big concern and question, but I think it just allows us to dig deeper into just how big quality of life when we're talking about psoriasis, how big of an impact it is so far as in the lives of our patients. So when we're talking about what is most important to patients when we're talking about psoriasis and plaque psoriasis, and I think that's a really important question for us just to really dig into, because I think that when we're dealing with patients and we're also trying to counsel them in regards to educating them on the disease, but at the same time, we're trying to develop a treatment plan for these patients, it's very important that we know that we are actually meeting and tailoring, tailoring their treatment plan in relation to what fits them. And so I like when we talk about the top three goals that are most important to patients, is one, to reduce the itch, two, to lessen the appearance of the plaques, and also so far as to reduce the flaking. But not only that, 43% of patients did not feel like their HCP aligned with them regarding their top three goals. That's really, really important. I think sometimes when you really dissect that and you truly understand and say, you know what? Patients that come into us each and every day, and they may not know what they have, but they have psoriasis. They want to know that we may develop a great plan for them. But this patient, if they feel like, you know what, my doc checked off the ticket box in regards to getting, my psoriasis, pretty clear on my skin. But if they're still itching pretty badly, then that's an area that hasn't really improved. And that patient could say, you know what, great doc, this got really better, but man, this some other areas are still looming. So I think it's really important that we are able to tailor, our treatment plans to meet our patients' needs. I kind of think of it almost like a 4x1 relay. I sit back and say, you know what? It's a case where we start off on the relay and we hand off the baton. We tell the patient, we educate them in regards to what's going on. But it's really important that, you know what? There's buy-in that happens along the way. And with each pass of the baton, something's happening. And so it's really important. And I look at those as goals that, you know what? I'm meeting each and every goal until we cross the finish line. And that in itself is really important when we're talking about this disease. So there is shared decision making that is very, very important when we're talking about psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. And truly, in the very beginning, obviously there's deliberation and there's education that happens when we're educating our patients on their psoriasis. But not only that, we're giving them the opportunity to communicate in regards to what they're hoping so far as to get out of all this. And for a lot of them, it's clear skin, it's feeling better. But it's much more than that at the same time too. So not only that we move from initial preferences, but also then we deliberate to therefore make an informed preference. And in that, there's choice talk, there's optional talk, and there's decision talk. And obviously, when we're talking about treatment regimens, a lot of times we give choices in regards to, what options that we have so far as in regards to our arsenal in treating that patient. But not only that, at some point we get to a point in the conversation where it becomes a decision. But it's not just a decision of the provider, it's a decision, it's a shared decision in regards to the provider as well as the patient. And what that means is that I love when we talk about shared decision making, because I think in turn, it makes it seem like we're a team, where it's not just I'm the doc and I'm telling you what you need to be on and you need to do this, but it's saying, you know what, this is what's going on. This is what I suggest could be very appropriate. But you know what? With all I've told you in regards to your disease, let's make a decision and a plan that works for you, that addresses your goals and has us meet it at every point and step. So how can we maximize patient success with treatment? Because it's very important. We know that obviously, if the patient, if we prescribe something, we want them to be using it. I mean, there are many times we can always feel like we have a patient that comes into clinic and, they come in for follow-up and we're just like, okay, how'd that medication work? And they're like, I mean, I kind of started it or stopped it. So in turn, we know that there's a real problem. So first, when we're talking about US-based real-world health outcomes, outcomes says that 53.5% of patients were found to be adherent to their psoriasis medication. But we know that obviously there's a difference when we're talking about biologic therapy and as well as when we're talking about topical therapy. A lot of times the median treatment duration for patients who were on a biologic was 160 days. And those patients who were on oral systemics was, 113 days. But the biggest thing is that education is the main driver. It's letting patients know that, you know what, when we're talking about psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, it's important to delineate the difference between the acuity of the disease and obviously the chronicity of it. Because many a times we have patients, we put them on things and they may get better. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I'm cured. I don't need it anymore. And it's just like, no, we address the chronicity, the acuity of the disease. Now it's a case where now we need to make sure that we understand this is a chronic disease. This is a disease that it's not, we haven't, it's not gone away, but you know what? We are developing a long-term plan in relation to this. And so also when we're talking about medical education versus outside research, a lot of times it's also educating our patients in regards to truly what's foundational, you know, medical education. And many of times we're in the day and age where many of our patients are looking at outside research. And sometimes that research could be the internet, it could be different sites, it could be social media sites. And I always sit back and say, you know, it's really important for us to educate our patients and truly give them data in regards to what's going on, but that way that it can align up with that, because many a times, you know, they found some video that someone potentially made, and they've considered, you know what, well, that's an outside research that this person reported, and you kind of reel that patient back and say, you know what, I want to present some medical education of why and what's going on, and at the same time talking about a you know, appointment adherence and attendance. It's really important that our patients not only attend obviously the first visit with us, but honestly, so far as the follow-up appointments that follow up afterwards. You know, it's really important that, you know, whatever benchmarks or whatever appointment dates that you set, that patients know that it's not a matter that you just didn't come up with some, you know, arbitrary type of, you know, appointment schedule, but why you wanted to meet with them was this because you want to make sure that we're hitting those goals. We're at the same time we're addressing their concerns. Their psoriasis is getting better. And if there's a standstill or there's a portion of the disease where they're flaring or something's going on, you're ready and able to also address it as well too. So it's really important that ensuring our patients that obviously them adhering to all those things is part of the success story as well too. So we'll go ahead and revisit Monica. I know we talked about Monica in the very beginning, but I'll kind of just give a little bit more, a little bit background again, just in regards to her. And we'll kind of just discuss some questions just in regards to her again. So we know that Monica is a 21-year-old African-American female who presents with scaly plaques on her elbows and knees and fingers, in addition so far as to joint pain in hands and right ankle. So we have, you know, these questions here and talking about what non-physical issues were important that correlate so far as with psoriatic disease. I think one of the big, you know, non-physical issues that we can definitely say that correlates with the disease is really honestly so far as the psychosocial component so far as to the disease itself. And I think when we talked about Monica, where she brought up the fact that she was struggling with depression and anxiety, and many a times, you know, some patients are very able to bring that up in conversation. But I think sometimes I think it's as providers, it's for us to also understand that, you know what, the numbers really show that many patients, whether or not they bring it up in clinic, it is something that these psoriasis patients struggle with. So I think it's something that if nothing else, maybe we should definitely take the time to honestly probe our patients and ask, you know, are you feeling any type of way? Does your psoriasis make you feel, you know, like this? And I just want to make sure that everything is okay. Because that was one big thing with Monica that I really saw that, you know what, the stigma of the disease, how it was affecting her day to day was so important. So also the second question is, do we think atopic dermatitis was the right diagnosis? And what we see here, obviously talking with, you know, Monica, and at the same time, like we talked about throughout this presentation, is that, so, you know, that Monica does have psoriasis, and she has plaque psoriasis at that as well as psoriatic arthritis. So we can also delineate that atopic dermatitis was not so far as the right diagnosis, but obviously at the time, you know, previous years before, the correlation was that they thought that, you know, she had, there was a spring disease, you know, there was springtime, pollen, different other things that can kind of go along with that, you know, with the atopic dermatitis so far as cascade. And as when we're talking about TH1 mediated so far as disease process, it can understand how and why that was potentially a differential diagnosis within that schematics. But we come to know and learn, obviously, with more information that Monica provided, that you know what? She was not suffering with atopic dermatitis, but she was totally suffering with psoriasis as well as psoriatic arthritis. So what education should we provide Monica? I think that's a really important thing. I think that with Monica, Monica, I loved was the fact that she was really receptive, and the fact that Monica was open. She was a patient that came in and she wants to get better. And I think that education I could provide Monica was like, number one, you are dealing with a chronic, disease process, dealing with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, and her understanding what that means. But also, I think educating her on the potential treatment options that are available to her, and what that means as well too. And obviously, so far as the pros in regards to that, and giving her all the information that's needed. But I think the biggest thing as well is also letting her know that, you know what, adherence is really important. That when we put you on a certain medication, then go ahead and, if we reached a decision, because remember, we've talked about shared decision making. It's not just my decision that I've given Monica, but it's a case where me and Monica have entered into a shared decision making, saying, you know what, we're going to start this, and she agrees. And then, you know what, we're going to follow up in a few weeks and see if that worked. And if it didn't work, then you know what, then we'll make the decision to pivot and try something else. So I think it's also educating her in that regards, but also her understanding that, really, truly what this disease means in its chronicity, and then what's the long term so far as true effects of the disease in itself. And so how can we ensure our goals align with Monica's personal goals for treatment? And I think at the end of the day, it really is listening to our patients. How we understand so far as they have goals is that we hear them, and you let them know that, you know what, I hear you. I hear what your personal goals are. And you know what? Every treatment that I come up with or that comes to the forefront that we both decide, may be a potential opportunity for you to try, that it aligns with her goals in the forefront. I recognize that, you know what? She's a track and field runner. That means she's busy. She's a college student. You know what? I need to definitely, we come up with a plan that works with her schedule and works for who she is. Otherwise, giving her some type of treatment plan that is far-fetched doesn't hurt, it doesn't help her, and in the long run, it really kind of just slows down the goal, meeting that goal. So I think it's really important in that regards. So, well, I hope today's CME Outfitters Briefcase program has helped everyone better understand the impact of psoriatic disease on patients. What part of treatments are most important to patients and how we can ensure patient success in treatment. Because at the end of the day, that's super, super important. And so it's really talking about SMART goals. I like that. So, it stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. And so I kind of want to dig into, depth in regards to that, because, it's kind of unpacking a lot of that, and what that means. But I think obviously, one, it's screening and making sure that, you know what, we're meeting our patients' needs physically, psychologically, and socially, because many a times there are so many symptoms that go along with psoriatic disease. And many a times, obviously, we're looking at their skin, and that's the first thing, that we think of. You're just like, okay, this patient comes in with their plaques on their skin, and they're not feeling great. But it's honestly, it's really important for us to really identify and really, appreciate the impact that truly disease as a whole really has on our patients. At the same time, it's also aligning treatment plans. It's really, really important that we are making sure that we're addressing the needs of our patients, and that at the same time, the patients feel like, you know what, they can come to us, and you know what, if something's not working, that, you know what, we can pivot. So it's also, it's remembering that, you know what, I may be partial to a treatment plan that I feel like is best for Monica, but Monica may say, you know what, that may not work for me. And so then we come up with something that in the long term makes sense for Monica. At the same time, it's maximizing treatment success. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that every encounter that we have with patients is that it's number one, it is a shared decision making, that they have just as much in pull in this whole system as much as I do. And it's them knowing that. And so I think at the end of the day, we want their success at the end. And so I think it's for patients like Monica to feel that. So it's maximizing that to its entirety. Today's CME Outfitters briefcase is part one of a three-part series of case-based activities. I hope you'll check out the other two activities in the series. You can see more resources on psoriatic disease at our Dermatology Hub on the CME Outfitters website. To receive CME and CE credit for this activity, participants must complete the post-test and evaluation online. Participants will be able to download and print their certificate immediately upon completion. Be safe and take care of yourselves so you can provide the best care for your patients.